Welcome to The Rink, your weekly source for hockey talk without the entitlement. I'm James Tape Leg Graylian. Well, it's time for another Tweetcast. I pulled the Twitterverse and found six people who wanted to talk hockey with me. From the Leafs to the Preds, goalies to old forwards, from TV coverage to the standings, they had a lot to say. Let's find out what was on their minds. This is The Rink. So first up on tonight's Tweetcast, I have Ryan Mance, also known as Ryan Classic. You can find his newer hockey blog at Classic Blog. It's RyanClassic.net. Is that correct?
RyanClassic.net or ClassicBlog.net.
Excellent. The Classic Blog. A lot of times you've been doing the kind of the shorter hits of the five things, and also some pretty good, you know, some pretty good analysis when you're throwing it up there. We're happy to have you start blogging. Ryan, you wanted to talk about the kind of the tops and the bottoms of the Western Conference standings. Even though we're a couple games into it, it's kind of a crazy picture of the layout of the land in the NHL.
Yeah, it is. And in my perspective, I'm quite happy with that. My number two team being Colorado, sitting up there nice at the top with 8 goals scored and 2 against. And then down there at 14th at the league is Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
2 losses, 9 goals against, and 6 goals for. And those 9 goals against, that's been very, very generous to them. I don't know if you had the chance to see particularly the second game that they had in Europe. But Jimmy Howard completely blew it for them by letting in a terrible slow goal through the 5-hole, and then 13 seconds later letting in a bit of a faster goal again through the 5-hole. And it got a fantastic shot on the bench of Mike Babcock, just mouth agape, a full 5 seconds of the camera on him. He did not move. His mouth stayed dropped.
Now let me ask you something about Ryan. Let me ask you something about Jimmy Howard. He's finally been called up. He's kind of been in the Red Wings system for a while, and the Red Wings fans have always seemed to kind of have a been a little worried about him, whether or not he was actually going to be worth the time that and effort that they put into him, whether he was actually going to be a number one NHL goalie. Do you think that, this is probably one of your first times seeing him, but watching him play, do you think that this is going to be kind of par for the course for Jimmy Howard, or is this just kind of the European anomaly or the start of the season bugs?
I kind of want to put it to beginning of the season bugs or playing in Detroit bugs. Because if I'm basing it all on one game, then I could look at any of the three that Luongo's really played, particularly the last one, and go, well, this guy's never going to be a decent NHL. Remember, he let in 3 goals on the only 3 shots he faced in the second period. But then again, I look at Howard, and I look at what I saw, and I don't really think he's going to be a fantastic goalie. But usually in Detroit, that doesn't really matter so much, does it?
Mm. Yeah, well, you think about how everybody kind of has got on Osgood quite a bit, and Chris Osgood, whether or not he deserved it or not. They over the last several years, it always seems like they have solid enough goaltending. I mean, heck, last 2 seasons they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals, and you don't do that with poor goaltending.
Fair enough, and they also did that without Marian Hossa, who's supposed to be the big, big loss that they had in the offseason.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
true.
I trust Detroit to bounce back from all this. This is what they do every year. They might hit a bump or two, but in the end, they're always in the playoff running, and no matter where they finish, which is usually the top of their division, they're probably going to make a run in the playoffs.
But for right now, you're pretty happy to see them sitting at 14th?
Oh, absolutely. without a doubt. The other interesting one is Vancouver down at the bottom, and I live in Vancouver, not a local from here, really, but I do get to see a whole lot of the games. I was sitting in through the training camp this year, and I got to say, Luongo looked extremely solid in camp. He looked really solid in the preseason, and I have no idea what happened last night.
Mm.
None.
There were some pretty ugly goals that were scored against him last night, and to actually get yanked and have... have Andrew Raycroft have to step in is a little hit to the ego of not only him, I'm sure, but also the fans in Vancouver.
To a resounding cheer, did Andrew Raycroft enter the net.
That's painful.
I know. I know. But it is grating on the locals. They're used to him having a slow start, but they're freaking out just a little bit more this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were supposed to have great goaltending. Obviously, that's not happening. They were supposed to have pretty good defense. Again, not really happening. And their offense was supposed to kick it up a notch. And that hasn't really been happening. Mm-hmm. And they put all their eggs into one basket with their rookies, demoting Cody Hodgson, and putting it all on Sergei Shirokov. And he's done nothing at all. So you're not getting any scoring, and your goaltender's laying eggs. It's kind of hard to finish anywhere other than dead bottom.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, Ryan, that's pretty much our 5 minutes. I got to make my next call. One quick question for you before I let you go. I'm asking pretty much everybody this. What is your favorite hockey jersey that you own?
That I own?
Mm-hmm.
I don't own it anymore, but going back, it would be the original black Senators jersey, the one that did not have the white armbands on it.
Mm.
It's an old logo, and it's an old jersey that I got when I was really young, and it doesn't fit me anymore. But for me, that's classic Ottawa. Not this current logo one, whatever it is, this mess, but the old vintage Ottawa.
Right on.
That's what I've ever owned.
A good choice. Well, Ryan, I really appreciate it. Of course, you can find Ryan's blog at ryanclassic.net or the Classic blog. Thanks a lot, Ryan.
No problem.
All right, next up on the line, I have Jay Kumar. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how's it going?
Excellent. Yourself?
Doing well.
Excellent. Jay is a podcaster. He has a non-hockey podcast called Completely Conspicuous, but, expand your horizons a little bit. Non-hockey podcasts are awesome. I think Jay has a really good podcast, which, of course, I'll link to on my website, www.rinkpodcast.com. And Jay is also on Twitter as Coomdog, Coomdogg. Jay is a Leafs fan, and I've actually never talked to a Leafs fan on the podcast. It's not because I don't want to. It just never has happened. And
we're just bad, so they're all hiding.
I feel, and you're actually in Massachusetts right now.
Yeah, I grew up in Toronto, born there and lived there until I was about 14. And we moved around, and I've been in New England for the last 25 years or so. So I live just north of Boston, but still root for the Leafs.
Yeah, I'm sure that those allegiances like that, I can't imagine would die. You know, would be dying hard. They're how would you possibly root for the Bruins just because you live nearby when you've been a Leafs fan?
Yeah, there's. I see people who do switch allegiances, and I don't understand it. I mean, I still root for the same crappy teams every year. I root for the Leafs and the Jays, and it's, especially with the Leafs, it's just been really 40 years of heartbreak. But, it's all I know, I guess.
Well, the Leafs are just such a huge topic right now, especially with the retooling that we're seeing under Brian Burke, at least the beginnings of, and the questions about goaltending and maybe getting some solution with that with Gustafsson, the AKA the Monster. How are you feeling about the Leafs right now?
Well, I just watched the game tonight against Ottawa. It's their third game of the year. They lost again for the third time. They looked a little better. They didn't get blown out like they did against Washington the other night. But, we are talking about Ottawa here. So Gustafsson played tonight, and he played pretty well. He didn't have to be spectacular, but, one of the goals on him was batted in with a, they had to review it because it was a possible high stick. It was big goal mouth melee, and then 30 seconds later, there was a penalty shot, and Daniel Alfredson just deked him out of his pants. So, but other than that, he played pretty well. The team basically, you know, there's a lot of new faces, but they're doing all the same stuff. You know, just poor defensive coverage. Tony Kill isn't that good, and you know, ill-timed, you know, scoring. So, you know, I'm not sure. Right now, it's, you know, I'm a little down on it, but it is early in the season. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, there was. I'm looking at the score sheet right now. Shots on goal. You had 8 in the first, 5 in the second. And then third period, when the Leafs actually finally scored a goal, was 14 shots on goal. Did you see? I mean, did you really see them picking up the pace? That maybe this is, you know, maybe this is a team that's going to be able to respond to adversity.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to they actually played pretty well until those two goals. Ottawa got two goals really quick. And then they kind of, after that, they sort of just, Ottawa just took it to them, and they just didn't generate any kind of offense at all until the third period. And then they kind of woke up a little bit. And you know, Pascal Leclaire played a really good game for Ottawa. You know, Ottawa played a good road game. You know, just played strong D. They were clogging up the lane, so it was tough to generate anything for the Leafs. But, you know, they did show some fight, and at the end they had, actually right after they scored, Mike Komisarek hit both posts with a shot. One of those, and then they, you know, they actually, Thomas Caberle had a chance right on dying seconds that, similar to the last play in game 7 of the final last year, where you got the puck, but Leclaire dove over and made a nice save. So, you know, it was encouraging. The first game of the year was against Montreal. They should have won, and they kind of blew it towards the end, and then they get blown out by Washington in the second game. So, I mean, they're not completely hopeless, but, you know, it's going to be tough for them to make the playoffs, I think. Just that, you know, the Eastern Conference, there's so many teams on the bubble that, you know, it's going to be, they're going to have to really have everything working for them. Oh, and they also lost Victor Stahlberg, who's their best rookie come out of camp, kid out of UVM, who just been playing really well in preseason. Anton Volchenkov just drilled him with a huge body check tonight and left him with what looks like a concussion. He basically got knocked out of the game in the first and never came back. So that's not good news, because he was he can fly and he's got some good skills with the puck, and he will be missed if he's out for any length of time.
Wow. The first game they lost in overtime to Montreal. This game they lose 2-1, but with the addition of course the penalty shot that led to a goal for Ottawa. So, you know, you're talking one goal games. Does that leave you with some hope for the rest of the season?
Yeah, you know, you're always hopeful. I see a lot of the same problems. You know, I've been watching this. I have the center ice package, so I see pretty much every game, and you just see a lot of, you know, sloppy defensive coverage. You know, I mean, I'm encouraged by Gustafson. I hope, you know, it's a small sampling so far. You know, he came in on Saturday and gave up 3 goals, but, you know, played pretty well. He didn't give up any goals in the third period Saturday, and you know, played fairly well tonight. But it's just, you know, I think they're new faces on defense are still getting used to each other. You know, Beauchemin, Komisarek, Exelby, all new guys on defense. And Beauchemin especially looked really out of sorts so far. So I'm hoping, you know, he can get back to his normal caliber of play. But, yeah, there is hope. I'm not, you know, I guess, you know, you start 0-3, you're always bummed out. But, you know, they're not going to lose every game. I mean, I think they'll, you know, they'll pick it up. But, you know, it's just... Are they going to make the playoffs? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. They have a shot. And Beauchemin did play over 26 minutes of ice time, so that's nothing to sneeze at. Jay, my last question for you. I've been asking everybody this. What is the favorite jersey that you own?
My favorite jersey is a 1994 Toronto Maple Leafs home jersey. Home then was a white jersey. Doug Gilmore. Number 93 is probably my favorite Leaf of that era, that one's followed by closely by a Matt Sundin third jersey, you know, the Leafs third jersey, which is like the old school
logo
on it.
With the tie
strings and everything on the front. So yeah, those are my favorite jerseys. But the Gilmore's definitely number one.
In the context of that Gilmore jersey, how was it seeing Carey Fraser calling the game on ice for the reffing tonight?
Wait, what was the question?
How was it seeing Carey Fraser on the ice reffing tonight? In context of that Gilmore jersey, huh?
Yeah, you know, there's always a. I know the great blog Down Goes Brown always likes to rag on Fraser, but there was the infamous call in the '93 playoffs against Gretzky high-sticked Gilmore and cut him, and Fraser was looking right at him and didn't make a call, and Gretzky ends up scoring the winner and killing the Leafs.
Yeah.
Their last hope for a Stanley Cup Finals appearance. But, we can't if you hold on to that stuff too long, it just eats you up inside. So.
Yeah, which would have, of course, led to a Montreal and Leafs Stanley Cup Finals. That'll never happen.
That would have been awesome. Yeah, it won't happen now because the Leafs aren't in the West anymore. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that was a fun year, at least until that the last couple of games there.
Well, Jay, thanks a lot. I really appreciate you coming on the show. Of course, Jay's podcast is called Completely Conspicuous. Your Twitter account is at Coomdog, KOOMDOGG, which I'll have links to on the Rink podcast site. Jay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, next on the line, I have Buddy Oakes. Buddy runs the Preds on the Glass podcast and blog. It's all about Nashville Predators. How are you, buddy?
Doing great.
Excellent.
How about you?
I'm doing wonderful. Talking some hockey. I love talking to many people about hockey. And I don't get. I know that I had the forechecker on a very early episode of the Rink podcast, but I don't think I've ever talked to another Predators fan on the podcast, so it's definitely nice. Tonight you were at the Meet the Preds, is that right?
Right. It was the annual event they have for the season ticket holders, and they had probably 3,000 or 4,000 people there. All the tables set up, players were giving autographs, taking pictures with people, and just a lot of people that are excited for the season kicking off on Thursday night.
Yeah, and the season Thursday kicks off against the Colorado Avalanche. Well, my team, I don't play for them, but what are you looking forward to? What do you expect this Thursday?
Well, I think probably both teams, the Predators and the Avs, have both surprised you and me leading up to this point right now. We went into Dallas last Saturday where we've only won 4 times in 10 years. And came away with a shootout win, and that was kind of a real pleasant surprise to start the season with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dallas is Dallas has just about as many question marks as any team these days. The Predators, of course, included, especially with as difficult as that division is. What do you think's gonna go down in on Thursday night?
Well, it should be a good matchup. I know that that y'all have had some problems with Anderson with his groin.
Mm-hmm.
So last I heard, he was questionable to start. And I talked to Pekka a little while ago at the meet and greet thing and asked him if he was starting on Thursday, because that would be my bet who would start. Ellis started last week in Dallas, and he said that that Coach Price hadn't told him yet. So. I still think he'll be the one that that will give it a go on Thursday night. Early in the year, Tucker didn't have that great of a preseason. Didn't have a lot of support in front of him, but I think that that Coach Trotz will probably go back and forth and split it about 50-50 here until somebody gets in a rhythm and really takes over the number one spot.
Hmm. Yeah, it's. Are there any real question marks for you this year, as far as any of the players are concerned? With Steve Sullivan, Dumont, anybody standing out for you as any questionables or?
Not really. I mean, this year this is the first time we've had Sullivan in camp for a couple of years, and the first line is playing pretty well intact. We lost J.T. Dumont the other night early in the game on a hit that was not a dirty hit. A lot of people wanted to point to it and say that it was. But I think that he's been skating and that he's a probable for Thursday. Hornquist came in and filled in real well for him on the first line, and that happened earlier in the preseason, too, where he filled in on one of the top two lines and really did a good job. So that the Predators have two fairly good scoring lines, and then the third and fourth line still probably need some more work to get some more scoring in. Putting the puck in the net was a problem all last year. It got a lot better after Sullivan came back after Christmas and on through the end of the year, and starting off a little bit better this year. So most people had the Predators pick fifth in the division and then somewhere around 12th or 13th in the conference. And actually being here and seeing the team and being around them, I have a lot better feeling that they're going to do better. I really think that they'll be back in the playoffs this year. The whole team atmosphere and Coach Trotz really has a way of getting a lot more out of the team as a group than he would as individuals. And that's been kind of the hallmark now since the beginning of the franchise. So looking for good things this year.
Yeah, I know that one game really isn't anything to judge, really judge off of. But one of the things I'm looking at right now in the from the game against Dallas was that Dallas outshot the Predators 40-26. Was that Dallas's defense that was holding back the shots for the Nashville, or was Nashville just not taking the shots?
A little bit of both. The Nashville has had a history of being a little bit too cute and working the puck around and taking that one extra pass as opposed to just letting it go at the net. And in the preseason, they were doing a lot better job of actually just putting the puck in play, whether it's going on the net or not. And I think that we will see them do that better this year. But it's always been problematic, especially on the power play. Last year, we were in the mid-20s most of the year in the league rank in power play, and we've gotten to a whole lot better. The penalty kill has always been a top-10 unit, and they really need to get more towards the middle of the pack on the power play this year. And I think having Sullivan there for the whole year, along with Mike Santarelli, who's on the second line playing second-team power play, also is fairly creative at making some shots. So they just need more people that aren't afraid to shoot the puck, and I think we'll see a little better.
Yeah, it's not the Preds have never seemed like one of those teams that plays, I don't know, dirty or like down dirty or just kind of they always do seem a little bit too fancy sometimes for me.
They've a couple of people that Coach Trotz called out early in the year before the preseason even started was Marty Erat and David Leguan, and we've had David Leguan. He was our first draft pick when the franchise first got started, and we've been waiting for a breakout year ever since. He's had times where he was the best player on the ice. There's games that he's unstoppable, and then there's other games that he disappears, and the same with Erat, and they're getting paid well, and it's really time in their careers where both of them really need to step up and produce in compensation with the type of money they're making. And that's been pointed out to them both by Barry Trotz and David Poyle this year, so there's a lot expected out of them on the second line.
I want to ask you one more quick question. I've been asking everybody this. What is the favorite jersey that you own?
My favorite jersey?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a tough one. I've got a jersey that I got several years ago. It's a Team Canada jersey. Oddly enough, it's got all of their championship years on it, and it's really kind of an ugly color and everything. But
is it the black jersey with kind of the mustard gold on it?
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you something funny. My girlfriend has the exact same jersey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she does.
I'm sure every time she wears it, somebody says something to her, especially around a hockey rink, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's great. Well, cool.
I've got one of those, and I guess for Pred jerseys, just for conversation's sake, I have to go with the old mustard. Everybody either loves it or hates it, and I've got a couple of those too. So,
you think you're going to be getting one of the new third jerseys from the Preds?
Yeah, they look pretty good. They kind of look like a classic Maple Leafs jersey, except in the stripes around the bottom, they've got kind of a black checkerboard that you can't really see. I was up looking at one of the examples tonight, and I was 5 feet away, and you really couldn't see the checkerboard unless you were just in bright light and getting up close. So it's kind of an oddity that you don't see anywhere else.
Interesting. Well, we'll see if you get one. Definitely let me know how much you like it. Buddy Oakes of the Preds on the Glass podcast and blog is at www.predsontheglass on Twitter. You're at Preds on the Glass. I'll definitely have links to all of that on our site too. So, buddy, thanks a lot for talking to me.
Right. We appreciate you having us.
All right, I'm talking to Justin Goldman. Justin is the host of Avs Weekly on Mile High Sports and founder of the Goalie Guild. Justin, you're kind of a goalie junkie, I'd say. Is that a good way of putting it?
Yeah, that's a good nickname, man. I goalie junkie fits me very well, I think. I spend so much of my time, you know, working on the Goalie Guild and doing the prospects reports or, you know, just giving people some insight on the position from a goaltender's perspective. But I like it. I think that will stick. I might make that my nickname for the whole season.
Beat some of the other nicknames that goaltenders get all the time.
Yeah, there's some bad ones out there. And, you know, here in Denver on one of the radio stations, I get called, you know, I've had to work my way up because this is my fifth season on the air. And when I first started, it was the hockey nerd, and then it was five hole, which I didn't let stand pat for very long.
That's
and now
bad.
I'm fortunate enough to have, yeah, that was a bad one, but now I'm very fortunate to have the nickname Glove Side, which I like very much. But, you know, Goalie Junkie, I think fits me a little bit better, and anytime I'm on with you, let's go with Goalie Junkie for sure.
All right, I like that. So the big news for me, and I think probably for you, I think for a lot of Avs fans right now, is Anderson is they're reporting that he has a groin strain or groin injury of some part, and you know Anderson's pretty much looked the best of any Avalanche player out there right now. He's the guy who's you know helping them win games, and pretty much the main reason they're 2-0 right now. What do you think about all this? I mean.
I'm extremely impressed with Craig Anderson, and not necessarily surprised because, you know, I've been fortunate enough to watch him play when he was in Chicago and then, you know, slowly continue to develop his game in Florida. And as this guy continues to grow and evolve into really a starting goaltender, you can just see the poise and the confidence that this guy has. And for a lot of people out there that haven't seen Craig Anderson play a game live, because, you know, you don't get a lot of exposure in Florida and you don't get a lot of exposure as a backup in Chicago, but this guy displays a ton of confidence in the net and you can just see it. And not only is he intimidating with his size, but he never really loses focus within a game. It doesn't matter if you throw 20 shots on him in the first period or he faces 4 shots in the first and all the work comes in the second half of the game, he's going to be very, very consistent. And for Avalanche fans, I mean, this is a blessing because that was one of the problems that Peter Budaj had last season is that, yeah, he's a tremendous athlete and he's a great young goaltender and he works really hard, but he was so inconsistent because he really didn't have high levels of confidence. You know, there'd be streaks where he would make 15, 16 unbelievable saves and he'd end the night with a shutout. And there'd be other games where he'd make some great saves, but as soon as he got scored on one time, that was it. And you knew he was rattled and you knew he wasn't going to be able to win that game. But this is not the type of goaltending you're going to get from Craig Anderson. You're going to get a goalie who's very, very consistent, who can make 40 saves in a game if he has to, and he'll play exactly the same way as if he faces 40 shots or 20 shots. So I think that's something to really watch for as the season progresses is, yeah, this guy's by far definitely the number one goaltender for the Colorado Avalanche, but just watch how confident he is and how he never gets too high and never gets too low. And you mentioned the groin pull, and, you know, I read some of Adrian Dater, you know, Adrian Dater put a blog up there, and he does a great job of covering the Avalanche. And I don't know how serious this is, but I'd have to think that, you know, now that the Avalanche don't play until Thursday night in Nashville and they're on this huge 7-game road trip, he'll probably be okay. And, you know, let's hope for Avalanche fans and for goalie fans around the world that it's not too serious and he stays healthy, because he's on a roll right now.
Yeah, when they Avs first said that they picked up Anderson, I was actually slightly disappointed because I was hoping that they would go after Scott Clemenson, but it looks like my worries were pretty unfounded.
No, I mean, I thought it was a brilliant move by the Avalanche, but, you know, I was looking at some other goaltenders. You mentioned Clemenson. I thought he was going to be a perfect fit for the Avalanche. Cristobal Huet was another goaltender that, you know, he's got the kind of French-Canadian ties. The Avalanche love their French-Canadian goaltenders. And Cristobal Huet, you know, obviously a little bit more expensive, a little bit more experienced. But, you know, by the time the season started and by the time I had had a chance to really watch Anderson play in a couple of those preseason games, you know, you look down the list at the moves that NHL teams made to acquire a goaltender, you got to put Craig Anderson at right at the top of the list, especially because he only cost the Avalanche, $1.3 or $1.4 million this season. So, I think it's a great fit. They got a goalie who wants to be the number one guy, who wants to play 82 games in the season. And like I talked about just earlier, you know, he's got the size and the confidence to really push this team to play a lot better.
Hmm. Hey, tonight we were watching the Caps and the Flyers play, and there seemed like a lot of goaltender issues tonight. Was that just me?
No, that game was wide open from the get-go. Well, maybe not from the get-go, but obviously the 7 goals in the second period. And you know what? A lot of fans, and I'll try and be brief here, but a lot of fans were very high on Semyon Varlamov. I said it right. Yeah, Semyon Varlamov, so many fans thought, you know, this kid was going to be the starting goaltender from day one all the way through the rest of the season. And me personally, you know, just from a goaltender's perspective, this kid still has a lot of work to do. He's very raw when it comes to his talent and his skill. And I think it's going to take him most of the season to really, you know, evolve into a starting goaltender and to really evolve into that level of play where he's consistent on a nightly basis. And you kind of saw it tonight where he let in a few goals, he got rattled, you know, Washington had to make that choice to pull him, and playing in Philadelphia is not an easy city to play in, and you could definitely tell he was rattled and he didn't have a lot of confidence. He was playing deep in his crease, you know, allowed a couple of goals that he should have stopped, and Jose Theodore comes in and does a relatively good job, and you know, unfortunately he lets in that overtime goal by Danny Briere. And, you know, it's going to be a tough season, I think, for Capitals goaltenders because that team is so potent offensively. It's going to be all about consistency and focus for those two goaltenders. And I don't think either of them really have the best consistency or focus of NHL goaltenders out there. And, you know, you've seen Jose Theodore play here in Colorado,
oh, yeah.
So you kind of understand what I'm talking about when it comes to that focus. So I think there's going to be some question marks in goal for Washington as the season goes along. And you know what? Just on the flip side, you look at a team like Philadelphia, and there's going to be some goaltending issues there because, you know, you can't expect Ray Emery to be focused for 82 games. And, you know, he had a great start to the season. He's done an awesome job so far. But tonight, again, you know, maybe a couple of those goals he should have stopped. And, you know, once the faucet gets turned on, goals come quickly, especially when you're playing against Washington. So, yeah. You know, so many goaltenders across the league, you can look at them and say, wow, these guys are so talented. But it really does come down to the mental aspects of the position when you finally do make it to the NHL. And, you know, you can go across the league, you can talk about pretty much 30, 45 goaltenders. And what you want to look for is that focus and that consistency, you know, night in and night out.
Yeah. Well, Justin, that's pretty much our time. I want to have you on the show sometime soon so I can give you a bit of a lightning round. We'll see if pick your brain about the goaltenders around the league. Really quickly, though, one quick question for you. What is the favorite jersey that you own?
Ooh, the favorite jersey that I own. You know, this is going to be a tough one, but as far as probably the most rare jersey that I own, and, you know, I probably only have like 15 jerseys or so, and but probably my favorite one would be actually a jersey from Australia from a team called the Sydney Pirates. And, you know, they're not the Olympic Australian team or anything like that, although they do have some pro leagues out there. But it's just an adult league team that actually made a trip out to Colorado last season. And they were here for 2 weeks in January and brought their whole crew down all the way from Australia to catch like 3 or 4 Avalanche games. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to get to know the guys really well. And they hooked me up with a Sydney Pirates team jersey, green and gold, with some nice gold trim, nice gold numbers, and the 5 stars from Australia's country flag right there on the front, and then the Pirates logo on the shoulders. So that's by far my most rare jersey that I own, and yeah, that's probably my favorite one.
Wow. I have two game-worn goalie jerseys, or I have two game-worn Avs goalie jerseys, a few other game-worn goalie jerseys from around the minors and the like. Do you have any gamers that are goalie jerseys?
You know what? I don't really. I mean, I only have my high school jerseys that are goalie cut jerseys that I always rock whenever I get the chance to. But, you know, it's odd. You would think for such a goalie nut like myself, I'd have some goalie cut jerseys, but I do not have any. Wow. I got a couple of Chris Osgood jerseys because, you know, he's my idol, and, you know, you can laugh at me if you want for that. But it's very strange. And I do see you in that Tyler Wyman jersey and the Vitaly Kolesnik jersey, and I love that Kolesnik jersey because not a lot of people know this. You're probably one of the few that do, but Kolesnik actually beat Martin Brodeur in like a 13-round shootout or something crazy like that a couple of seasons ago, and you know, Vitaly Kolesnik, that's a goalie to remember, and you having that jersey, that makes me a little jealous, man.
He was a guy I wish they could have held on to. He wasn't going to suffer in the minors and, you know, forever, and it sure looked like once they made that trade for Tator, that's pretty much where he was going to be. So
yeah, it didn't end well for Kolesnik, but you know, for all the Avalanche fans out there and all the goalie fans out there that do remember him, props to that, because he was cool when he was in the NHL. It was only like 8 games, but he had a pretty decent run for the Avalanche, and I'll never forget that shootout win against the New Jersey Devils, because it's not every day you beat Brodeur shootout. So
no, it ain't. Justin, I really appreciate you coming on. Next time I'm gonna have you on a little longer so we can pick your brain about goalies, kind of maybe even be able to do a lightning round with you.
Hey, no problem, man. Anytime you want to talk goaltending, I am down. And keep up the good work with the podcasts, and I enjoy going to your website.
Thanks a lot, Justin. Justin Goldman is the host of Avs Weekly on Mile High Sports and founder of the Goalie Guild. His Twitter account is at the Goalie Guild. Go follow that, and I'll have links to all of that on our site. So thanks a lot, Justin.
Hey, no problem, man.
I'm talking to Steve Lepore from Puck the Media, which is, of course, at puckthemedia.wordpress.com. If you don't know of Puck the Media, you should be reading it. It's pretty much, as far as I know, the only website that kind of covers the coverage of hockey. And I think in pretty much the most professional way I've seen yet. You know, would you say it's pretty accurate, Steve?
I would in no way describe me as professional, but a guy was talking to me about joining some website today described my work as satire.
Satire?
I kind of just ignored. Yeah, he said, I enjoy your satire.
Wow. I don't...
It's as if I have a brand. Your witty brand of satire, sir.
And what was the... and you just joined another blog talking about the Devils, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm Louis Trust. I got in at exactly the wrong time, it appears.
in lieu, maybe we don't trust right now, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty early in the season. Everybody's shaking the cobwebs off, and
at least we're not Vancouver.
No, yeah, that's true. In fact, I talked to somebody about Vancouver a little earlier, and they were actually enjoying that fact.
Who's worried more than Team Canada in goal right now?
This early in the season, I think that they're all I'm sure they're biting their fingernails a little, but only a little. These are talking about goalies that can definitely bring it back around, though.
Mike Babcock's thinking about going to Osgood.
Ooh. Well, it's early in the season, so it's kind of hard to say, but at the same time, you know, Versus and the like, all the national carrier in the States is still dusting off their cobwebs, too. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the happiest, as I'm sure that you know, with their coverage of the Europe games, but their coverage of the opening night here in the U.S., I actually thought they did a pretty good job.
I agree with opening night. I think they got put in a really tough spot when the Avs announced Sakic's retirement thing, and there's sort of a point where watching a retirement ceremony, if you're not a fan of that team, gets really boring.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to decide, how much of that can we cover without driving people away who are tired of watching Joe Sakic from a surprisingly well-plotted-out camera angle walking onto the ice from about 5 miles away? Did you see how really cheesily done that was made?
You know what? I only got to see the Versus coverage itself, so they did show the entire speech, which, you know, thanks to Joe keeping it short, was kind of helpful.
Yeah.
But no, I did. I heard about some of it.
Yeah, good old quoteless Joe.
Exactly.
But yeah, otherwise, you know, I've made my peace with Joe Beninati, and he did, I guess, okay with the first game. But and Doc Emmerich obviously must have wanted to call. There's no reason to want to call a San Jose, Colorado game in October unless there's something special going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but otherwise, the pregame is what I noticed was really good because they brought in Darren Drager from TSN to do some insider stuff, and it took away a lot of the empty, droll, dull banter that, you know, permeates the Hockey Central show most of the time.
Mm, yeah, is it?
So
is,
there are attempts to improve.
Is it just me, or does it always seem like the entire time of Hockey Central, the studio show for Versus, does it always seem like they're yelling? Is that just me?
Well, with Hockey Central, it's a show completely dedicated to hockey, but yet while it's on, you'd rather be watching almost anything else.
That is painful.
It's just an awful show. The banter is so lame and forced and dull, and yet they are kind of yelling at times.
Mm-hmm.
But Jones and Engblom, it's like their mics can only go so high, and they're being told to just speak, not a yell, but slightly above how a normal person should be talking.
One of my complaints about Versus, and this has been their entirety of existence of running hockey, of being the national provider of the NHL, has been their highlight packages. Every time they seem to talk about the highlights, they don't take enough time per highlight. They can barely even finish their sentence about a highlight before the highlight's over and they're moving on to the next one. Do you ever see Versus kind of digging themselves out of this hole of just showing games and nothing else as far as hockey?
Well, it's a problem. Well, with NHL Tonight, you always had, someone like Buchgras who was maybe too clever for his own good, but at least had something to say. So that's why they would roll the tape for so long in a highlight. So Buchgras could get off another, Greg Graffin is to Bad Religion, Jamie Langenbrenner is to the Devil's euphemism. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, they do run tape too short. They make the banter seem like they've spent 20 minutes. Like, it doesn't seem like it was planned that hard, but it doesn't seem like it was planned enough,
mm-hmm.
the banter that they force as hockey analysis on that show.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets a little bit old,
but the thing is, if you drop the studio show, people are going to complain that you're not doing enough.
Right.
Well, you know, and it's been several seasons. Was it four seasons now with Versus?
It's the fifth season now. It's the third season with the studio show under its current format.
Right. It was
three people that are there.
Yeah.
It was Clement and a rotating cast. Then it was Clement, Jones, and Engblom, and then now it's been Patrick Jones and Engblom. It's the third year of that.
Which I don't, I wouldn't mind so much, but it doesn't it seem like at this point, after this many years of being in existence, they'd start learning from their mistakes and maybe start doing those things that would improve a hockey podcast or a hockey broadcast. I mean, for instance, they're constantly showing live look-ins to CBC games, to TSN games. Isn't that one of those places where maybe they can learn a little and improve on?
You would think, but TSN does a good job with the banter. But the thing is, these guys don't seem like they actually spend that much time together. Bob McKenzie and Darren Drager and all those guys, they spend hours together watching hockey and watching stuff. And they, you know, and the same with Butcher Gross and Melrose back in the old days. They seem like they genuinely liked each other and wanted to have fun and watch hockey. Mm-hmm. These guys, they don't seem to be having fun. They don't seem to be enjoying each other's company. They just seem to, you know, want to make pithy dialogue and not sound interested for a half an hour.
Yeah, that's not the way to go. It's definitely not the way to go. Steve, I've been asking everybody that's been on what their favorite jersey is. And actually for you, I wanted to kind of ask, since the New Jersey Devils this year are going to be playing one game, and as I understand it, one game only, in the old style jersey for with the green, the red, and the black and the white. Is that are you going to be buying one of those old school jerseys when they come out?
Well, I own one. I got one off of eBay a few years ago from a guy who sold it. I got the red and green one. I don't mind the red and green one. I think it's a nice idea for one day.
Yeah.
My favorite jersey, my favorite that I own is Boston Bruins' Phil Esposito.
Wow.
And I guess my favorite one in existence is, I'll go with the lame answer, the red home now, way back then, Chicago Blackhawks jersey.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, that's a good choice, especially for me, that Bruins one. I'd like to see that.
Well, Phil Esposito's book made me laugh, so.
Well, cool. Thanks a lot, Steve. Steve Lepore from Puck the Media, of course, at puckthemedia.wordpress.com. And your Twitter, I believe, is Steve Lepore.
Steve Lepore, yeah.
Awesome. I'll have links to all that on my site. Steve, thanks a lot.
Anytime, James.
All right, my final call for the night, Laura, a.k.a. Hildy Mac, a Thrashers and Blues fan, an interesting combination to say the least.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm from St. Louis, but I've lived down here for a really long time, and I couldn't go without hockey, so I kind of adopted a team. And
I got to tell you, I love the name of your website, What's Up With You, at whatsupwithyou.blogspot.com. I'm definitely gonna have a link to that, because I don't think I can spell it.
Yeah, I half the time I can't even spell it either. So, and I named it. So,
Laura, the being a St. Louis Blues fan, you have to be happy with what happened in Europe.
Oh, yeah, I'm absolutely thrilled. I mean, I really didn't expect for us to go in there and take both games, honestly. I expected maybe one out of two, mm-hmm. and probably a pretty strong performance from both of them. But to win both games, especially the second one, the way that we did, completely exceeded my expectations.
Now,
like leaps and bounds.
One of the things that surprised me, I only got to see the first of those two games, unfortunately. But there's a certain amount of Red Wings hockey that I can watch, and then I hit my wall, and that's usually about 5 minutes. So
yeah,
it had nothing to do with the Blues. But in that first game, of course, the biggest surprise to me was Paul Kariya.
Yeah, apparently his bionic hip is working pretty well.
Yeah.
Because he he mentioned in a couple interviews with the Post-Dispatch, I think, that he feels better now than he ever did before he had the surgery. Mm-hmm. And I really think that first game is pretty big evidence that he's back. If he can stay healthy the whole year, I think a lot of other teams are going to have problems with us between him and Boyce and, you know, Tkachuk being back on that line, knocking in all the rebounds and stuff like that. Teams are going to have an issue.
Well, and Keith Tkachuk, I mean, here's a guy who everybody is pretty much just waiting for him to retire. There's not, you know, nobody thinks he's going to be doing anything. And he keeps getting re-signed. And and look at what he did in that second game against the Red Wings.
Yeah, I mean, 2 goals, an assist, I think, and several hits. I mean, he completely laid out Brett Lebda with the clean hit. But I don't really think I've actually seen him do that for a really long time. But he just... I've always liked Tkachuk. I can't help it. And I was one of the people who really, really wanted the Blues to re-sign him at the end of the season last year. It's because I think, like, the young kids need some veteran leadership, especially with our captain, Eric Berg, still being out and probably going to be out for at least, like, probably about 2 or 3 more months, probably. Mm-hmm. You know, we really need somebody like Tkachuk in the locker room, and all the kids seem to look up to him a lot. And then you have somebody like that going out there and playing to that level, you know, and stepping up in that situation. I really think that that is definitely leadership by example for the kids. And I think that's part of the reason our team's so good.
Well, and you've also got Eric Johnson back, which has got to be nice.
Thank God. Yeah. No golf outings for him this summer, I don't think.
No.
Or ever again, hopefully. He can be the caddy. He can just walk with the clubs.
You know, I think of the golf cart as kind of being the same thing as the Joe Sakic snowblower. It's kind of the easy shot for all the non-fans to take at him.
It really is, because it's so just random. You never expect to hear a hockey player get hurt in the off season. You know, and have something as major as what happened with Eric Johnson, and then have it be because he fell out of a golf cart.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty indicative, though, I think, of the end of, our season a couple years ago. And I think what everybody kind of expected from us going into last season, I think that's a pretty good metaphor for it.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anybody really expected a lot out of the Blues last year at all.
No, and at first it didn't seem like there was going to be much out of the Blues, and they certainly turned it around.
Thank goodness. And unfortunately, they had to come at the expense of Manny Legacy to a degree, which, I mean, I didn't like seeing happen because I like Legacy a lot. But I mean, with the whole situation with Mason and the fact that Legacy let it get to his head so much, I think that really it brought down him, and I think it brought down the team to a degree. So. I mean, hopefully Manny will get a shot. I've heard that he's signing a minor league contract with the Chicago Wolves.
Oh, wow.
I think Andy Strickland said something about that today, but I'm not sure if it's one-way or two-way with the Thrashers, because he was at the Thrashers camp this summer, before the season started.
Yeah.
And Don Waddell said that they were working on talking to his agent, and then the next day, you know, all the Thrashers fans hear that he's cut.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically started a riot. So, you
know, yeah, it's definitely been in Thrasher land. It's definitely been a bit odd in goal. Kari Lehtinen, AKA letting him in. He doesn't seem. It finally seems like the experiment may be coming to an end.
You know, I really think it is from everything that I've heard. And just from the attitude of Don Waddell and John Anderson at some of the Q&As that I've been at, I think they're set up. I mean, Waddell has usually tried really hard to defend him and say, you know, injuries usually happen. It's not a big deal. But this past town hall, he pretty much just said, you know, he's not the number one.
Wow.
And John Anderson reiterated that. I mean, Anderson said this position is up for grabs.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Kari's not in shape. He never has really been fully conditioned. And then he throws his back out from coughing when he has the flu, which is how all this happened. I'm like, oh, God, I mean, that's almost as bad as Eric Johnson. You know, mm-hmm. How did your dog get hurt? Oh, he has the flu. You know, so
I still think that Jose Theodore pretty much beats everybody by slipping on the ice on his driveway and breaking his heel.
That That's actually kind of ironic.
That one's that one makes me laugh every time I think about it. Actually,
you think he'd be better on a little bit better on ice?
You'd think, but I guess in shoes and on an angle is just too much for him. But you know, then again, you know, you watch Jose Teodor play and there's all these.
I'm sorry.
No,
Kari though, I really can't see him maintaining the number one position here for much longer. Yeah. I really can't. I mean, every time he's out, it costs us games. Last season we had that great push at the end of the year and it was fantastic, but we had to do it to make up for all the time that we lost at the beginning of the year when he was hurt and out, and we brought Pavlik up, who was not ready last year, and I really don't think he's fully ready this year. And, you know, that put us in a situation of having an AHL goaltender and Johan Hedberg, who I love, but he's a nice guy. He's a really good guy, and he always does everything he possibly can to get the team to win, but he's a career backup.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think it's fair for the rest of the team to always have to be standing around dragging their feet waiting for somebody to get healthy so they can, you know, succeed. I really think it's time to kind of cut the cord and find somebody who wants him.
Well, I guess we'll just wait and see what he does this year, and maybe if who knows, maybe he'll finally turn it on.
I hope so for his sake.
Yeah, I do too. I kind of hope so, but at the same time, you know, well, I'm sure it's nice having a guy who will dye his hair for you, you know, for the team. That's just...
Oh gosh, yeah, that's actually still being discussed as a possible catalyst for the whole situation, and that was, gosh, like 2.5 years ago.
Well, what is it? The road to hell is paved with best intentions. Is that the saying?
Yeah, I really think that he did try to be a little bit fun and everything else, but I don't think it went over. I think it kind of went over like a lead balloon in the locker room, especially with Bobby Holik and Scott Mellenby at the time. They weren't really happy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that has kind of impacted a little bit his the perception of him around the team. I mean, when you have, you know, Kovalchuk coming out and basically saying in a post-game interview, you know, we always play hard, we always do our best when Moose is on the ice.
Ooh.
But never saying that about Kari.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know if it's because they know Kari's abilities and maybe think he can pick up some of the slack, or, you know, if it's just kind of like, well, you know, he doesn't play his best for us. He's always hurt and everything else. So,
yeah,
maybe subconsciously they're like, well, why are we bothering to play our best for him?
Yeah, that's pretty ugly. I guess we'll see what he does this year.
Hopefully he comes back eventually.
Yeah. Laura, the my last question for you, something I've been asking everybody that's been on the Tweetcast today. Okay. What is the favorite jersey that you own?
Favorite? Oh, gosh, that's tough. I do own a Patrick Stephan jersey from the Thrashers' first year that I still wear to games just, you know, to embarrass myself.
home or away, the white one or the dark one?
It's the white one. So it used to be the home, and you know, but I still get comments on it. Like, why are you wearing that? I'm like, well, because I don't know.
Because you don't throw away a jersey. I still have a David Abisher jersey from the Avalanche. It has a, you know, black stripe through his name, but I still have it.
Yeah, I mean, they're very, very expensive. I'm not throwing away a $200 jersey. Yeah, I mean, but other than that one, I actually have one of the older Blues jerseys from about like 90, 91, before they got really ugly with that whole red whatever that was. That I really wish we never did. But that one, I mean, that one's my favorite. I'll wear it when the Blues are down here in Atlanta. That's usually the one that I grab to go down there. Because when the Blues are here, I do, that's who I root for. So,
what do you think of the third jersey for the Blues?
I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
I really do. That is probably on my, next on my to-buy list, for sure. It's just really clean and classic, and it just looks really sharp. It's not kind of that tacky, cartoony kind of thing that the Senators and the Lightning had going. I mean, it's pretty old school. And I mean, it just, a lot of people would like to see it replace the home jerseys, but
I don't see that happening anytime soon.
No, people kind of recognize the blue note. The last time we messed around with it, well, it was the red jerseys, and yeah, I think they learned their lesson.
Well, Laura, also of course known as Hildy Mack, and your Twitter is Hildy Mack. Thank you very much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for
having me. Of course, I'll
me.
Have links up to all of your stuff and say it for me. Your blog is called
What's Up With You.
What's Up With You. Cool.
There we go.
Cool. Thanks a lot, Laura.
Thank you.
That does it for another episode of The Rink, a Tweetcast edition. If you want to find out about the next Tweetcast, the best way is to follow our Twitter account, which is, of course, twitter.com/rinkpodcast. Links to all of our guest sites can be found at our website, which is www.rinkpodcast.com. You can email us at rink@rinkpodcast.com, or you can call us at 845-704-RINK. That's 845-704-7465. Thanks for listening to The Rink.